Hi there, welcome. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, also EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook page, on YouTube, on Facebook, and you can also see us, follow us, comment, send us your takes, your questions, your comments on the YouTube channel as well. I'm Jerry Escher, along with Debbie Giorgiani. Debbie, a good morning to you, since we're on Pacific time. Good afternoon to our Eastern friends, or wherever others happen to be.
So we want you to grab your cup of coffee or your cool drink and sit down with us. Well, Jerry's got his drink right now if you're on Facebook. Water, you need to hydrate.
Gotta stay hydrated when it's 120 every day.
Exactly. So you need that cool drink. Just relax for about an hour and enjoy this conversation, or jump in and participate. Here's the number, 1-800-585-9396, or you can text us. You text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response and put your first name in, your question or your comment. We'll be happy to put it into the discussion at just the appropriate time. Just keep in mind that there might be slight little data rates that might apply depending on your service plan. But we want you to join us because this is your show. And this topic today, Jerry, I have to tell you, I'm struggling with it. So I'll let you announce it.
Well, what are you struggling with it for first? I'd be curious to know.
I go back and forth. Do you want to announce what it is? Because I'm struggling with this idea. Okay, I'll just go ahead and say it. If there's really someone for everyone, yeah. I struggle with it depending on the situation and the life circumstances. I'm going back and forth because I would like to think there's someone for everyone. I would like to believe that in the romantic side of myself, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, that is our question today, dear listeners. We hear it often said with regard to love that there's someone for everyone, and maybe it's a matter of just waiting until that perfect someone comes along. Maybe he or she never comes along. Of course, there is someone for everyone, ultimately speaking, when we bring our faith to bear on the question, and that is, of course, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Every one of us, as members of the body of Christ, who are his bride, in a spiritual, mystical sense, we can espouse ourselves to him. So we all do have someone, but we're talking about temporal love and romance and marriage and bearing children. So here are a few starter thoughts for you, our dear listeners, to call 1-800-585-9396. Are you someone who almost, like, really just tripped over the love of your life when you were still fairly young? I mean, God just brought the two of you together in such a beautiful way, and you knew it right away, and it just happened. Okay, it happens that way for some people. Maybe you, maybe you had to make attempts to get his or her attention, some sort of overtures, and to see if there was some mutual interest there. Maybe there wasn't. Maybe that wasn't the right person. Perhaps you've been in and out of a lot of new relationships, thinking each time this is the one, and for whatever reason, it just doesn't click. It doesn't turn out to be the one you're called to marry. All right. And if it's been a while since you've been involved in a romantic courting relationship and you still feel strongly that marriage is your vocation, give us a call and share how you're feeling about this. As the years have passed, have you grown discouraged? Has the fact that you're someone hasn't come along yet made you wonder if your vocation is maybe actually to priesthood or religious life? So these are some of the things we can talk about today.
Okay.
Does that help flesh it out?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more complex than I think I'm looking at it. So that's good. Okay, I like this. 1-800-585-9396. We depend on you. So please call in. Don't sit there and be entertained. We really want you to participate. So if you can call in, please do. 1-800-585-9396. We're talking about today, is there really someone for everyone? And like Jerry laid out for us so perfectly, there's different elements to it. And we want to explore it because it does relate to our vocation and our faith life. We know that. As a matter of fact, all of the topics, even if they seem kind of a little bit out there, they do relate. We can bring them back around into our spiritual life. So keep that in mind. We always have that first and foremost because we're trying to get a little closer to God. We want to walk away from this brief hour together a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God. 1-800-585-9396. I'm still going to hold my thoughts till the end, though. I want to see what our listeners have to say.
Well, here's something else, too, Debbie. I think if we look back a few generations, love might have come a little bit more easily for some people because the family structure was still intact. Neighborhoods, people knew each other. You might have met your spouse at church or in a youth group or at work or something like that. And our whole culture, our whole society was different than the way it is today. Now you have a lot of broken families, breakdown of the family. That causes people to have difficulty making commitments. And now you have, technology. You've got dating sites, even some very reputable Catholic dating sites. And So the means by which people go to find their life mate, their spouse, I think it's really changed a lot in the last 40, 50, 60 years.
Well, it's very true. I mean, the whole structure has changed. So, yeah, there's a lot to talk about here. So we really need to get going. So we want you to call in. Don't wait till the halfway point of the show because then there's a slight chance we're not going to be able to get to you, and we don't want that to happen. So we want everybody to be able to weigh in on this and share their takes and maybe impart some great wisdom that we can all learn and grow from. So again, here's the number, 1-800-585-9396. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. This is your show. You can hear us on the radio or you can watch us live on YouTube or Facebook. When we come back, we're going right to the phones.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
During my lifetime, I've had several hospital stays and have always said it's the nurses who make the biggest difference in the experience. Here's a beautiful example. Stephanie is a nurse with preemies in Jewish General Hospital's NICU, and she's seen how small acts of kindness make large impacts on the parents. Stephanie makes tiny superhero capes to hang next to the baby's incubators, individualizing each one. These babies are super strong, she said. They fight through so much, they're just little superheroes. Stephanie's made about 100 capes. Parents see how hard nurses work to keep their fragile babies alive and often emotionally struggle in the alien NICU environment. So Stephanie's kindness makes a traumatic experience much more human.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Be touched by the sacredness of the Most Blessed Sacrament, the resting place of Mother Angelica, plus tour the EWTN campus. Start your Catholic pilgrimage today with EWTN. Call 205-271-2966.
Top evangelists are gathering July 1st through the 4th for the Convocation of Catholic Leaders, the joy of the gospel in America. Under the leadership of the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, they will identify solutions to some of the greatest challenges the Church faces today. To learn more about the discussion and what these missionary disciples will bring back to your communities, go to usccb.org/convocation.
Hi, this is Barbara McGuigan.
This is Bishop Robert Barron of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
This is Dr. Greg Popchak.
And Lisa Popchak.
Thanks for listening to EWTN Radio.
We are always so glad that you spend this time with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, because you are the ones who impart the wisdom, really. A lot of shows, there are great, great shows that you call in, you ask the questions, answers are given to you, you help clarify things. But here on this show, Debbie and I sometimes will offer our insights, maybe you might look at them as answers. We hope that they're more like just comments and affirmations of what it is that you're thinking and what's going on in your life. But you really are the ones who lead this show, and you help others grow and learn and become better by what you share on Take Two. 800-585-9396. 1-800-585-9396. 9396. Today our topic is there really someone for everyone? And we're talking about love and marriage and family and kids. See, without love, life would be unnatural and, quite honestly, incomplete. We are made to be loved and to be loved by others. And I think I just said the same thing twice. We are made to love and be loved by others. And so we're asking your take on this, and we're going to start with Michelle, who is listening on the EWTN app in Pensacola, Florida. Hi, Michelle. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Well, hello to both of you.
Welcome.
I got to tell you guys, I wasn't sure about this show, but I've really grown to enjoy it so much over the last 2 years. So congratulations to both of you.
Thank you, Michelle.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I can't really speak to everybody's situation, but I do know in my situation, it took me a long time, but I finally did meet, I'm going to get choked up, if I finally did meet the guy that God intended for me, and I know there's no question about it. I moved back to Pensacola several years ago before my mom died to help take care of her, and lo and behold, my husband was right down the street, and we met. Neither one of us had been married. I was 58. He was 52 when we got married. We didn't have any children. We had no divorces. He converted to Catholicism before we got married. He's in the Knights of Columbus at our church. I mean, it's amazing to me. But I mean, I had years of praying and memorari and novenas and all that. And then finally I'd say, well, you know, I'm going to do this, make this life change because I want to go home and take care of my mom. And lo and behold, this is what God wanted for us.
Right.
That is beautiful. Good things come to those who wait, right, Deb?
Amen. Amen to that. Well, Michelle, what I love about your story is you said yes to taking care of your mom. And look how God brought it full circle to really a blessing for you in the ultimate sense.
Yeah. It really did. And the funniest thing is my mom got to know my husband's name's Jim before she passed away. And she kept saying to me, and this is really before we were even dating. We were just friends. She would always say, if you don't marry him, I will. Okay, Mom. All right, Mom, I get the message.
How's that for a little pressure?
That is adorable. Well, Jim's very blessed as well because, I mean, look at the gratitude you have in your heart for your relationship. And so, I mean, it sounds like the blessings go both ways. And I'm really happy about that because I think it gives a lot of people hope that if they are just stay faithful like you have and in alignment and in cooperation with God's will, I mean, there are those beautiful blessings that come from it, Michelle.
Well, they have in my life, and I don't know that there is somebody for everybody, but there certainly was in my life, even though I couldn't see it for many years. But there's no question now that, you know, the way Jim has just fit right into my family, and, I mean, it's like we've known each other all our lives. Our families, you know, known each other forever. So it's really been an amazing happening in my life.
Well, real quick, Michelle, before you go, you said you were 58 before you got married. I presume you met Jim maybe a little bit before that, a year or two. You were a little bit younger. But a lot of people get to be into their 50s. I'm 55. I'll be 56 in a couple weeks, not married. And it doesn't discourage me so much. I feel like I have my vocation. My spiritual directors really confirm that I'm where God wants me to be and all. But I'm curious from your standpoint, did discouragement enter in at any point? I mean, I'm sure it depends.
Yeah, go ahead. My 40s were really kind of tough because I really felt like by then I had been married and had children or whatever, and it just didn't happen, you know. And it took me a few years to work through all that. It really did. But then by the time, you know, I hit my 50s or whatever, moved on, and, you know, I just sort of accepted that, okay, this is what God's will is, so I'm going to roll with it. And I always felt I wanted to be married, but if that wasn't what's going to be, then, okay, well, let's see what's next. But, it just had to be the right place at the right time with the right guy. But it is, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know this is God's will. There's no question in my mind.
Right. Right. Well, your mother approved of Jim, so that's
I know.
So much so that
right. She was competition for you, Michelle. But here, Michelle, I love your spirit, the way you said, I'm just going to roll with it. And I think that is what is needed in the ultimate sense for, like, all of us who are on a journey. We're on a journey, and we do have to roll with it because God's got a plan for us, and it's being explained to us and shown to us in many ways. And I think it's important that we do kind of roll with it. I love your spirit, Michelle. I really do. Would you?
Well, thank you.
Yeah, check back with us from time to time, and really, we really appreciate the fact that you like the show, and that makes that really warms our hearts. Thank you so much.
Yes.
For
yes, I very much do. Thank you all for everything that you do.
Bless you, Michelle.
Thank you. All right,
that will open up a phone line. Is there really someone for everyone? Are you someone who is a little bit further along in life? 30s, definitely. A lot of people getting married in their 30s today. 40s. But Michelle was 58. Do you look back and maybe there were missed opportunities, or maybe you just are discouraged and thinking, God, are you ever going to bring me somebody? Maybe God isn't. So we're talking about today. Your experience really could be helpful to a lot of other people who are listening. So, Kathy, we're going to find out what you have to say on this from Augusta, Georgia, listening on St. Paul Radio. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hey, thanks for letting me talk. I really love to talk about this. I don't talk about it a lot, but I'm a very indecisive person. When it came to meeting my husband, we met on a tennis court, so I say it was love. And then after dating for several many months, we got engaged, and then I decided, I don't know if he loves me enough or if I love him enough. So I broke the engagement, and he moved away. And we did not speak or call for a year. Then I started thinking about him one day, and I wrote him a letter. This was back in the days when you wrote letters. You didn't text or email. And then I put it in the mail, and lo and behold, the very next day, I get a card from him. He's on vacation in the Bahamas. He was thinking of me before he could even get my letter. So a whole year has gone by, and he sends me a card just at the very time that I send him a letter. So we start writing and talking some more. And sure enough, we start dating again. He comes back to where we live in Nashville at the time. And then going down the road a little bit, we got engaged again. And then what happens? But I have cold feet. And I cancel the darn engagement again. And so this guy is being so loyal. We kind of keep hanging out. But I'm starting to pray really hard. Lord, I really have to know. I've got to know. Is this the right person for me? I don't want to lead him on or anything. I want to know. And one day I was outside praying, and the Lord was talking to me some and saying, see, I gave you the beautiful clouds and the beautiful trees and the beautiful foliage and the beautiful birds are singing. I'm saying I love you by each one of those things. And then I felt like the Lord was saying, by giving you Tom, I'm saying I love you. And I felt a lot of peace about that. But then I started kind of doubting, did I really hear the Lord? Was that really the Lord? But I felt like it was. And sure enough, God in his faithfulness, several days later at a prayer meeting, a charismatic prayer meeting, somebody started handing out letters from Jesus. And I rolled my eyes internally and thought, this is what gives prayer meetings like this bad names, is people give out letters from Jesus. And so I started looking at it. My dear child, you know, look at the trees. I'm saying I love you. Hear the birds sing. I'm saying I love you. The foliage tells you and shouts, I love you. So there in my hands was confirmation that indeed I had heard the Lord, and I had the greatest sense of peace, and I knew I wanted to marry this man, and it was right. And I knew that I would not even say it to him. I would not speak it to him. I would just wait until he did something. So sure enough, a few months later, on Christmas Day, he proposed to me and gave me a ring, and I said yes, and we got married 2 months later. I didn't dilly-dally.
Wow,
beautiful.
I didn't
have a chance to back out or anything. But it was so great. But going on through marriage, they had some ups and downs. There was some trickiness. There was wonderful, wonderful years, and there were some very difficult years. Mm-hmm. And we had 6 children in 13 years, and they were all wonderful. But there were some difficult years, and I started saying,
Tom, can we go to marriage counseling? Can we go to marriage counseling? This went on for a couple of years. And then one day I said it to him, and he said, okay, but I'm not going to pay for it. And you know what happened? We went to Mass that day, and Sunday Mass, and the priest gets up, and what does he say? There's a new initiative I'm starting, and it's called RetroVi. It's a counseling, weekend counseling session for adults, for married couples who might need some help. And we're going to provide this free of charge at our parish, and I just want everybody to know about it.
Yeah, and you're like, Tom, there it is. There's the sign.
There it was. So anyway, so God was faithful and good, and there were ups and downs, but God brought us together, and he kept us together. And my husband and I had our 39th wedding anniversary. He had had a stroke. He had had a heart attack a few months before that. But we had our 39th wedding anniversary. We went to daily Mass together. And then we went and we were blessed after it. And we went back to the grotto behind the church and told the Blessed Mother, thank you for all the 39 years of marriage. And he went off to his little physical therapy. He said he didn't want to ride, and I went off to work. And then I found out he had a stroke later that day. He never spoke again. He died a month and a half later. But we had that sweet time of thanking the Lord for 39 years of marriage. Our last words to each other were, our real words were, bye, I love you. And then when we were all gathered at his deathbed, we were praying the six kids, and we were all praying the rosary, and we had a St. Benedict's crucifix. And he died on St. Benedict's original feast day. And we found out later the crucifix was the crucifix of a happy death that we were blessing him with. So God is just so good. And through it all, just awesomely generous and kind and willing to lead us and poke us and push us along anytime we need him. So that's what I wanted to just say to those who are kind of have a hard time making decisions, God will be faithful, even though we might be a little mixed up about it. God will show us the way.
Well, that is an amazing story and journey you have had, Kathy. And you said your husband's name is Tom, and we if that's correct, we put him in our prayer book because we pray for all of those living and deceased. But what I take away from your story with the tears that I'm feeling, just because I think it's so beautiful, the love you two shared, was the fact that when you did have that final gratitude or thankfulness to the Blessed Mother, and then when you said goodbye, I mean, you just have to imagine that the Blessed Mother was there to escort Tom. And that's a beautiful thing. And then, like you said, to have that that happy death, or I should say happy entrance into eternity. I mean, it's really amazing. You have a wonderful love story, and that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. And I'm glad you shared that there's ups and downs, because that's what relationships are. If we think it's going to be a storybook life like we see in the movies, we're sadly mistaken. But like you said, if you remain faithful, there's all these blessings along the journey. Thank you, Kathy. That really inspired us today.
Absolutely, Kathy. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate that. And I love how she wove in, or maybe you did, Debbie, I'm not sure. They met on a tennis court, and he served love to her three times, and in spite of her double fault, they ended up getting married. What a beautiful, beautiful story that was, though. Thank you so much. All right, 1-800-585-9396. Molly in Pensacola, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We got a break coming up shortly, but we can get started with you, Molly, and then carry you over through the break. So go ahead.
Hi. My thought was that sometimes the person who God sends for you isn't necessarily the person who you're going to have the traditional romantic relationship with. It can be a friend, like a very dear friend, and that person has been sent to you by God. And, that's basically the idea of it. I have a very good friend that I would consider that's the person who I'm going to spend my life with, not in close proximity, not in everyday contact, but that's the person I can reach out and know that he's going to be there for me.
I love that take. Absolutely, Molly. Thank you for bringing that up. Because, yeah, we do lose sight of the fact that there are different types of love. In fact, we may have done a show, Debbie, on the different types of love, mm-hmm. Philios and agape, mm-hmm. and I may be getting the words wrong. But
no, you're right.
This is a very, very beautiful point that, and we see this in the Old Testament. I think it was David with, was it Jonathan, David's friend? You know, they were like inseparable friends, buddies, and really were, in love in a spiritual, a very healthy
brotherly
love. Yeah.
Right.
And we see, the same thing in a sense, Jesus with the beloved disciple, John,
right.
who reclined at his breast at the Last Supper and so forth. Hang on, Molly. We can continue this. I know Debbie's got some brilliant thoughts as always that she will impart to your question here on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Take two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio and our affiliates. We thank you, affiliates, for airing the show.
We know you like listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, but have you thought about bringing them to your next event? No matter what type of event you're hosting, parish mission, conference, or retreat, trust Jerry and Debbie to make it come alive. Begin the process today of taking your presentation to the next level of success. For information on booking Jerry and Debbie, visit take2show.com, click on the J&D logo.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
When did you come to the faith? I came to the faith when my kids were teenagers. Or when they were grown. That's a source of guilt. Why couldn't I come to the faith so I could raise them in the faith? Okay, be grateful that you came to the faith when you did. The timing is not always ours. Now, since you're deeper in the faith, you can do one thing that you wouldn't have done before. You can pray for the children. Be grateful that you came to the faith at some point. Let the children see what mom is like now, what dad is like now, compared to how they were raised before mom or dad came to the faith. Not a source of guilt, source of gratitude.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn.
As a journalist, I held people accountable. And that's what I want to do here. I want to hold government, politicians, leaders, moral leaders accountable for the actions that they take. And to do it in a way that gives our Catholic audience something new that they would not find anywhere else.
EWTN News Nightly with Lauren Ashburn. Weekdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
So glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We're on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Jerry, did you say we've got a praise report that came in? We've got to thank God.
We finished with Molly, a praise report came in via email.
Oh, we've got to make sure, because you know how I love to thank God when all those wonderful Take Two family prayer warriors are praying. We've got to be able to have those praise God prayers. But I agree. Molly, thanks for holding. And I just wanted to say I agree with what you're saying, Molly, and what Jerry was saying about this idea of having a different type of relationship with other people that God has placed in our life. And I agree, because the name of the game, if you will, is to get to heaven. And if people are going to come into your life, or God is going to place people into your life that are going to make you the best version, you live out your purpose and get closer to God, then you almost have to assume that is part of God's plan. And so that's where it's funny, Molly, because you're tapping into what I was struggling with at the beginning of the show, because I don't necessarily hold completely, strong with the idea that it has to be this one special person that God has picked for you. I believe that, God wants us to get close to Him, and He's going to put those people who are willing to say yes and journey with us. Sounds like you're saying the same thing, Molly. What am I off base or what?
No, it's funny that you say that, because
this friend that I have, he's a longtime friend, but only in the last few years has our friendship deepened. And when it started deepening, one of the first things that he put on our friendship was that we need to pray for each other to get to heaven. And that just really struck me in my heart, and I pray for him every day. And he made this analogy with another person that he knew, that, you know, if the friendship becomes a hindrance to getting to heaven, because that's the ultimate goal in our life is to get to heaven, then that friendship's not healthy. And, you know, it that should be always kept the focus. And
right.
But one of the other things that you were talking about is this one person for each of us. And I'm a recent convert, and for a long time, I had a problem accepting this idea of, like, there's one person made for us. But that's always there, I think, especially for us women, that, oh, there's someone out there. But it can be such a hindrance in our growth that we think, oh, is this the right person? Or that the person is out there. And so it becomes a hindrance. Like, we get almost frozen because we get so caught up in whether this is the right person that mm-hmm. is made for us, rather than recognizing that there are choices, and that there are choices in our life and in the other person's life, and in that choice we can choose to love people, or we can also I forget where I'm going with this.
Well, no, I hear what you're saying. You're almost saying that we can get very obsessive when it comes to when that person comes into our path. All of a sudden, we're focusing only on that person that we think, okay, this is my chance. This is my shot. This is this one person that entered in on my journey. And that right. could be very problematic. I agree with you.
Right. And also that love is a choice. You know, if you can choose to love a person, and if you think that this one person is the one for you, and you choose to keep loving that and feeding that, even though it may be an unhealthy relationship that you're not even married, but you've put all your effort into it, and then you have to realize, wait, I'm not going to be dictated just by my feelings. I can choose a healthier relationship. And then I realized that person is not really for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Molly, it does. And I remember when I was in college, I went to Franciscan University, very solid school. A lot of young men and young women left their 4 years there, either married or dating or engaged. Great place to find a future spouse. But there was one friend in particular that many of us knew, and he was intent on having that woman in his life before he graduated. And we were in the same class, and I remember as senior year rolled around, it intensified to the point where some of us we had to call him aside and just say, hey, not going to say his name here, but look, focus your eyes on Jesus. Focus your eyes on your courses, your purpose for being here, and it's going to happen. He graduated without having that woman in his life, but he has since become happily married, and they've got a family. So I think you make a great point, Molly, and Debbie, too, you know, that as Fulton Sheen says, three to get married. And if we our eyes on Jesus and really make our first priority deepening that relationship with God, and almost not even looking around the periphery to see what's going to happen, one of these days we're going to look to the right or to the left, and there she's going to be, or there he's going to be. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to look upward and say, wow, Lord, thank you so much. So thank you, Molly, for your call. We appreciate that very much.
Keep listening, Molly, because I think some of the other calls are kind of going to tail on some of the things you're saying. So please keep listening. It could be a very interesting follow-up to what you have to share. Thanks, Molly. We appreciate it. Okay, so now can we have the praise report?
Yeah, I just want to mention one of our great listeners, Edith, emailed on April 4th and had a prayer intention that she get a permanent job. She had been working temporarily at this place of employment, and we assured her of our prayers. And those of you, the Take-Two family, in an email just came in about an hour ago said, Jerry and Debbie, I want to start by thanking you for your prayer. Well, we got the whole Take Two family praying, Edith. She says, I got a permanent part-time job.
Yes.
I'm no longer temporary. Thank you very much
Praise
for everything
be to God.
That you do. And
wow.
So she always keeps EWTN and yep. our show and our listeners in her prayers. So thanks, Edith, for keeping us updated on that.
Thank you, Edith, and praise be to God. Thank you. Wow, awesome. Real quickly, Jerry, just so we got some YouTube comments. The chat's going pretty vibrantly, and Tanya had said that she does think there is someone for everyone. But then we got another YouTube comment that said, I'm scared of being alone. So for this wonderful person that just shared your experience of this, keep in mind you're never alone. First of all, you're never alone. Your guardian angel is right with you forever. Okay, your guardian angel is with you from the moment you're born and is going to enter you into when you meet the Lord. Okay, and so your guardian angel's with you, never going to leave you. Okay, that's the gift that God has given us. So you're not alone here on earth. And that's an important thing. I just want to make sure everybody realizes that, because this world can make us think we're alone. Okay. I just had to say that.
Good.
All right.
All right. We're going to go to Patty, who's been holding very patiently. Gets our Patience Award today in Houston, Texas, listening on our friends on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Patty. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi there.
Welcome, Patty.
Just hear something that, you know, I didn't know how to really answer or say. This is, about my daughter. And I was thinking, like you guys were saying, there is somebody for everybody or so. But the thing is that my daughter, she decided not to be religious three years ago, just a year before she finished high school, and she went to Catholic school. So she's quiet and not as social. She likes to study hard. She gets good grades, and now she's in college. And I don't know much about, if she was she met anybody or anybody hurt her, but I feel, that something happened. And I briefly say, you okay? Anything happened? She said, I'm fine. Don't worry. And leave me alone. I had to read and stuff like that. And we were saying, about kids or something. And she say yesterday, I'm never going to have any kids. I don't like kids. So I feel that she's resented, and my younger son, he's freshman college, he's already 1 year with a girlfriend, and it seems that, they get along fine, and they love each other, and my daughter just say, Jack, and...
Right, so Patty...
I just don't know how to really, I pray a lot, for her to be Catholic again and have faith. But now that she's getting older, middle 20s or something. No, well, 20,
right.
21.
Right. Well, Patty, a couple things. You shared that she seems to, she's a bit reserved, and she's, into studying instead of maybe being social. You said that she has chosen not to have a vocation in the religious life, and so she's in college right now. This is a great time for her own self-discovery, and it's a great time for her to deepen her understanding of the Catholic faith. And unfortunately, a lot of times in college campuses, even Catholic campuses, those opportunities are not there. As a matter of fact, it can be very stressful and detracting from what she should be really doing at this time, this great time for her to really get to know herself and her relationship with God. What you're doing is beautiful, that you're praying for her, and that's what is wonderful, because you're carrying her in prayer. Because right now, if she's not praying on a regular basis for herself and having that discipline, then you're doing it for her. And that is a wonderful thing, and there's merit in that. What I would encourage her to do, what I would encourage maybe if you could do this, it sounds like you have a great relationship, is that this is a beautiful time for her. And God allows us these times when we are solo, if you will. Remember, we always have our guardian angel, but when we're kind of just going through life without that another person by our side, it's a great time for us to expand our understanding of God and what God wants for us. And it's really an opportunity for her. So if somehow you could get her to understand that, or maybe encourage her to look for people that could support that, this is a wonderful time for her. I don't see this. Mm-hmm. This is not a negative. And that's, it goes back to Jerry's story about the college roommate or whatever, the college friend that he had that said he was going to have somebody before he graduated. That's very problematic on many levels, because mm-hmm. that kind of pressure, it leads to the obsessiveness. And it's kind of like what Molly was talking about earlier. And you lose your focus. So if there's any way you could encourage her that this is a beautiful time for her to really deepen her understanding of her faith and who God is and what God wants for her and God's promises and God's understanding of what he wants for us to be the best version of ourselves, I think you'd hit a home run with it. The problem is she sounds like she's a little disillusioned, or maybe she got hurt, maybe dating, and that always sets people back. I don't know if, Jerry, do you want to add something to that?
Well, and I'd love to see hear a little bit more about what Patty has to say, what you shared, Deb. Patty, does that any of that make sense? Is that reasonable for you?
Yes, definitely. It's just that she's so close that, you know, I try to come up with things that I don't want to, you know, send her away, because in the past 3 years ago when she told me, you know, she's just not religious anymore and she took some philosophy classes, I think that changed her mind. I don't know. I just, when I hear that, I just say nothing and left her room. But I keep thinking, in another occasion, I mentioned about my personal experience. I never talked to her about how I, you know, met her dad. I was at the point that, you know, I want to have a family, but things wasn't working out. So I was just, you know, very down, and I asked the Virgin Mary to send me somebody. And then, you know, I saw the person across me, across my office. And I never, you know, thought that he was going to be the person. But, you know, little by little, things kind of work out in such a fast time.
Let me jump in here again, Patty.
I have an idea.
Do you have a close relationship with your daughter, Patty, you yourself?
No, I mean, in the past I was pretty strict. I was usually the tough mom, because dad is very, very, very easy. He just, you know.
Well, you want what's best for her. And I was going to ask the same question. Is she close to her father? Does she look up to him?
She's close to the father. And, okay. you know, it's sad to say, I mean, father also decided to not be religious. So they kind of get along in that area somehow. But, yeah, she's a little, well, right now, that she's 2 years in college, she changed a little bit. She's kind of talking to me briefly about, you know, other things, but she doesn't want to talk much about, you know, going to church or about any religion things. She told me, I told you I'm not religious or so.
Well, so Patty, you know, like you said, she's in her second year of college. We had a caller, you may have heard our caller, Michelle, earlier in the program, who was 58 years old, and she just found her husband within the last couple years is the way I understood that. And so I think what Debbie said was really right on, and that is just give your daughter room, give her the space. You know, you don't want to condone anything that's immoral or anything, and I'm not saying that she's doing anything like that, but in giving her the freedom and the room that she needs to find herself, find her independence, and really, as Debbie said, find the best version of herself that she can be, let her know more by actions than by words, really, that you're there to help her, to be a support to her, you love her, you're praying for her, and like you said, she is starting to have these little conversations with you, even about faith and so forth. So the seeds that have been planted, Debbie, are definitely going to come to fruition.
I agree, and there's power in prayer. I mean, you have, you know, Christmas and Easter and all sorts of celebrations where you can invite the entire family when she's home to Mass, and there's ways to constantly keep the faith alive in the household. Even if your husband has kind of waned a bit, there's ways to bring it back. You always have to remember that. God stands outside of time, and so every moment, every second we are moving closer to God, we are and affecting others to do the same as well. So I just want to let you know, Patty, we're going to be praying for your entire family and for your daughter. So please know that, and let's see where God takes this, and watch for the opportunities that happen. God is great. He's never going to let us down, and we have to always remember that and have the faith and trust. So thank you so much, Patty. You're a great mom.
Yeah, thanks, Patty, indeed. We're going to go next to Allison in Dallas, listening also on Guadalupe Radio Network. Allison, we're grateful that you joined Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I just wanted to say that, and this kind of is a good segue from the last two callers, that one of the best resources for me in finding a true love was Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body. I have been married 3 times. I'm on my third marriage right now, and the third time's a charm. But I would say that I married the first time when I was very young, and I didn't know what I was doing. And that marriage only lasted about a year and a half. And then I was a single parent for 5 years before I married the second time. And I was married for 17 and a half years, but was just really unhappy in my marriage. We were both Catholic, and we got married out of the church, and then did finally have our marriage blessed within the church. And things didn't work out, and we went through counseling and talked to the priest, and we just decided to divorce. But I would say that I attended a singles group, and my area, and one of the things that we did was have a book study on theology of the body, and it was life-changing for me. It not only helped me to find a mate, but made my friendships and my relationships with my family more solid and more loving, and just the four tenets of what it takes to have true love, and that is to love fully, to love freely, to love fruitfully and faithfully. And I can tell you that before I found my third husband, I sat in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I prayed. I prayed to Mary. And Pope John Paul II blessed me because I did ask for his intercession, and he looked down from heaven and found a Polish man in the Dallas area and put us together. And people are always commenting on how happy our relationship is. We've been together for 10 years now, and you know, people just always ask us, hey, what is it that you do? What is it that you do? And we just tell them that, you know, through the intercession of Pope John Paul II and through the theology of the body, you can find a true love. And I just wanted to say that was the best resource that I ever had put into my life.
Amen to that. You said it beautifully, and I hope the whole world was listening to you, because you're absolutely correct. The theology of the body and the beauty of it being a gift, and it's just an amazing opportunity for us to understand what it means to be in relationship. I just, everything you said was beautifully said, and we wish you many blessings. Thank you so much for imparting your life journey with us, because it helps us. It helps us to understand better and to grow closer to God.
Great to hear from you, Allison, and we are going to go next to Maria in my hometown of Seattle, Washington. She has EWTN Radio on Sirius Channel XM 130. Hi, Maria. Great to have you.
Hi.
As part of Take Two and Jerry and Debbie. How are you?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Good. Keep hanging there, Maria.
Yeah, you told me that. You told me that in April, I think. And
well, keep hanging in there.
I've been in a relationship for, well, first of all, I wasn't in one for years and years, and I remember when I was in my 20s, I had, you know, I used to try to find Catholic guys. I was in this Mary Friends, and this guy, we had everything in common, but when he found that I had a disability, he dumped me, which I couldn't figure out, because we had everything in common, and, you know, even loved the same saints and everything. And then when I came here, I met this one guy, and I thought we were going to get married, and we used to go to Mass, and we even went on a pilgrimages, and then that didn't work. And then I went to different places and couldn't find anyone. Then I found someone, and we used to go to Mass together. He's not Catholic, but he still used to go to, when they had the Maronite Mass here, we used to go to it, and then we ended up parting, and then we got back together, and he still keeps telling me he's going to marry me and all this stuff, but then nothing happens, and I still keep wondering, you know, I keep wondering if he is the right one, and all this other weird stuff, and I'm getting old.
We're running a little short on time here, so Debbie and I want to offer some thoughts. But Debbie, to me, it just sounds like Maria is in a little bit of a similar position as I think Michelle. Michelle kept the gentleman proposed to her three times, and she said she had cold feet. I'm not saying that Maria or this guy, that's going on, but there are personal, interhuman, you know, human dynamics, our background, what we're made up of, you know, our life experiences that really come into play, you know, when it comes to determining relationships we're going to enter into, how committed they're going to be long-term and all of that. And
right.
So it sounds like Maria just maybe needs to, again, just like we've advised other people here today, just keep that focus on Jesus first.
Amen.
And invite this other gentleman to do the same. If he's not going to Mass, to come to Mass. If he's not going to adoration, to go to adoration.
Right. Absolutely. Jerry, you said it perfectly. Maria, that whenever there's time in discerning or advancing a relationship, excuse me, that time is precious. It's a chance for us to grow in our faith. It's a chance for us to know ourselves better, and it's a chance for us to get closer to God. So time is not a bad thing. The waiting periods are not a bad thing. They're a great thing. It's great for our souls. So we have to remember that. When we're in that kind of limbo state, if you will, when it comes to relationships, that's a time for us to really get to know God better, I think, anyway.
All right, Maria, thanks for the call. Phyllis and Margie and the others, we will not get to you today, but tomorrow you're in luck, because our next unscripted show, anybody who wants to call in, you can bring up something going on in the world, in the culture, in the news, something you've heard on our show. If you called a previous show and didn't get in, so Phyllis and Margie and anybody else, if you call tomorrow at the start of the show, we'll get you right on. We'll get you in first. How does that sound, Deb?
I think it sounds great. Ask us anything, and we'll be happy to answer. This is your show, and so we want you to have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow during Unscripted.